Election College, episode 119, Matthew Lyon, the Spitting Lion.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Hey, Jason, if you ever wanted an Irish-born American printer who was also a farmer, soldier, and politician who liked to spit on people in Congress, his name would be Matthew Lyon.
Yes, one of the rock stars of the U.S. House of Representatives, for sure.
Yeah, it's somebody you don't hear a lot about, but he's kind of he's a really interesting guy, and, you know, good or bad, I'm never going to forget him. That is for certain now.
Yeah, and you won't either after you listen to this episode.
Hey, so he goes to Dublin, where he learns to fight, obviously, at a young age. I made that part up. The part about Dublin's true, but the part about him fighting, I can't say for sure. Anyway, he goes to school in Ireland. He's born in Ireland and begins to learn how to be a printer back in 1763 before he goes to Connecticut in 1764.
Yeah. So, woohoo, he arrives in Connecticut and he becomes a farmer and he continues his education and he's there for about 10 years. And then he moves to Wallingford, Vermont.
Have you ever heard of anybody moving to Connecticut on purpose?
That is a very good question. Unless they're like, hey, I'm going to go to Yale. Mark Twain was from out here in the Midwest, and yeah, he spent his later years in Connecticut, believe it or not. And Harriet Beecher Stowe did too.
Yeah, but they were both like artsy, influential people. I mean, you know, just a normal guy. I can never imagine going to Connecticut.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably beyond our pay grade, I would think.
I guess so.
You know what's crazy, though, about this time? Because this is all around the period of the Revolutionary War. And have you ever thought about this, Ben, that you had the original 13 states, right?
Uh-huh.
And Vermont, conspicuously, is not in that grouping.
Yeah, they stay out of everything until the 1790s, if I'm not incorrect.
Yeah, and from about 1777 to 91, Vermont was a republic.
Yeah, it was actually known as the Vermont Republic, and there were many times where they were like, America? No, thanks. No. Also, Quebec. Yeah, right. That's we've heard of Britain, England, all that good stuff. We're not going back there either.
Yeah. So during this period of time, and this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but it's kind of interesting because we've all heard of the Green Mountain Boys, right? Ethan Allen and all those guys.
The furniture guy.
Yeah.
Ethan Allen. Isn't that a furniture store or something?
Yes. Has nothing to do with Ethan Allen, though. You've just made me angry.
You're welcome.
You just totally threw me off with that one.
Well, you're welcome.
Anyway, during this period of the Vermont Republic, they had their own currency, and I mean, they were doing the deal. They were doing the Republic thing. But it was always known that they would eventually join the United States, right? It's not like, no, we're openly rebellious to the United States of America. There was some controversy about who Vermont belonged to. It was called the New Hampshire Grants. And you had New Hampshire saying, hey, we got a stake here. You had New York saying, we're big, we're bad, we're New York. And we have a stake in this, but Vermont's like, nope, we're Vermont, and yeah, we'll eventually be a state.
And it's interesting because even though they were not a state, but they were kind of like everybody kind of assumed that, oh, they're up there in the Vermont territory. They weren't allowed to come to the Continental Congress because they weren't officially part of the country or colonies or whatever you want to call it. And a guy from Connecticut, William Samuel Johnson, actually says, guys, I'll help you out if you, you know, slide me across a table on a closed piece of paper, all of your interests and maybe a bribe. I don't know about the bribe part, but if you slide me across the table, all of your interest, I'll be happy to take it to Continental Congress just to make sure that the things that you want to happen, happen. And so they still got kind of their way about things, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Vermont's actually one of the only states that there's no stipulations of any kind about being admitted to the Union. So when they finally came around to becoming a state in 1791, Vermont's like, here you go. You're a member of the United States, and that's all there is to it. And stick this on your calendar, March 4th, it's Vermont Day. So yay, Vermont.
It's definitely going to go in my calendar, that's for sure.
Yeah. So back to our friend Matthew Lyon.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him already.
He's from Vermont for all practical purposes at this point. He's kind of from Ireland at this point. He's kind of from Connecticut, but now we're talking about the Vermont stage.
Well, the Revolutionary War comes around, and he goes in upstate New York, and he's serving in the Revolutionary War. And, well, it turns out he gets taken up on charges, essentially, for being a coward. And they actually make him, because he's a coward, carry around a wooden sword just to kind of embarrass him and shame him and everything. So that's what everybody else says. In his version, he says, well, we weren't doing anything that was important, so why would I bother, you know, trying in the war, I guess? You know, why would I want to give up my life if we were just essentially not being put to good use?
Yeah. And one of the guys who really comes to Lyon's defense during this stage is James Wilkinson. I am really stoked about talking about James Wilkinson because, I mean, is there anybody more controversial than that guy? Back to Lyon, though.
Yeah, we keep going off. But if you want to do some research ahead of time, maybe you shouldn't do that because you'll prove us wrong. But anyway, we're going to talk about James Wilkinson at some point in the future. Anyway, Lyon actually goes on, and he has some other assignments with everything. He leaves his regiment following the Battle of Saratoga, and then he goes up to Vermont again. And hey, why not? I'll hop on to the Council of Safety, become a captain in the militia, and do a bunch of other stuff too.
So the time comes in every person's life that he's like, okay, I'm going to chill from being in the military, and I'm going to run for Congress. So he runs for Congress two times and loses. So in 1797, he is elected as the Democratic Republican to the 5th and 6th U.S. Congresses.
Well, he has an ethics violation, and he's actually, this is a mess. He gets accused, which means he did, most likely, I don't know, spit in Roger Griswold's face. And he was accused of gross indecency, which I would say that gross indecency covers spitting in someone else's face. And then Griswold's like, well, I'm going to attack you back.
Yeah. So Griswold is like, hey, Lyon, pay attention to me because I'm going to confront you. And Lyon's like, I am not going to pay attention to you. He's got his fingers in his ears going, I'm not going to listen to you. Nanny, 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 nanny. And Griswold is ticked. He loses his temper and calls Lyon a scoundrel. Now, if it's in the 1790s and you call somebody a scoundrel, that's not cool because that is extremely profane at that time.
Isn't it weird how language changes? And you wonder, like, what words you accidentally said when you were in third grade and got in trouble are going to be totally acceptable and fine in another 50 years. Anyway, again, a rabbit trail, but yeah. Scoundrel used to be a really bad, mean word, especially if you were a politician.
Yeah, I hope iTunes doesn't take away our clean rating because we use the word scoundrel, and we've said it so many times, scoundrel, scoundrel, scoundrel.
We definitely have an explicit tag on this episode, for sure.
We're a bunch of scoundrels over here. Anyway, so Griswold is going to mock Lion. So Griswold calls Lion a scoundrel, and that's hugely offensive, obviously. And Lion says, come on, bring it on. Let's go. Let's go for it. I am for the common man. And Griswold, you're a jerk. And Griswold says to Lion, would you be willing to use your wooden sword, Mr. Lion? And Lion was like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lion spits on Griswold, therefore earning himself the nickname of the Spitting Lion. And of course, he later apologizes to the House of Representatives. What else are you going to do? But he's like, well, listen, guys, I only spit on him because I didn't think we were in session. And I really didn't mean it to be a big insult to everybody as a whole. And everybody's like, dude, you knew it was in session because you're in Congress. Like, how do you not get it? Sorry.
Yeah. Usually when you spit on somebody, it kind of doesn't matter. I mean, like, Ben, if I were to spit on you, you should be as equally as insulted, whether we were formally doing a podcast or eating a Thanksgiving meal. I don't know. Especially think about it. He probably had a big chaw of tobacco in there.
Oh, man.
That was nasty.
Well, needless to say, Griswold is still not really satisfied because it's like a weak apology, in his opinion. And so then he just like picks up his cane and beats Lion about the head and neck and shoulders in front of everybody else in the House of Representatives. And they're all like, okay, well, that was fine. Like, I can understand that. That's fine.
I just see it. Lion's getting beat upside the head. And he's like, okay, what can I do to defend myself? He's like, hey, there's a fireplace over there. Let me get these tongs. And see what happens.
So the rest of Congress essentially runs over, grabs Griswold by the legs, and drags him away from Lion, even though he was probably in the right to beat him with a cane. Do you think they'll ever outlaw canes from Congress? Because like, I feel like there's a, whether it's Congress or Parliament or presidential nominations, I feel like there's always people getting beaten with canes and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't hear too many people getting caned in the United States, do you, anymore?
No. But, like, just a couple, like, there's constantly fights in Parliament that they've had to break up.
Yeah. We're pretty decent to each other nowadays, aren't we?
We don't physically abuse each other, but I'm not sure we're decent to each other either.
Well, sticks and stones, man. Sticks and stones. So, yeah. Like any good Congress, they decide, should we censure these guys? And they're like, no, we're not going to.
Right, because why would we do that?
So Lion was, on another note, Lion was known to speak his mind. And one thing that he spoke his mind about was his disagreement of some of the policies of John Adams. John Adams, he wanted to go to war with France. And Lion was like, I don't think so. I'm going to speak out against you, Mr. President. And guess what? He gets thrown in jail for sedition.
What are you going to do in that case? Like, yeah, it probably was seditious of him to speak out against the president. But like, I just don't even know how your defense can hold up against, no, that was mean to the government. You said something bad about people. Like, there's no way around it. It's, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, he gets thrown in jail, and basically he's like, guys, these acts are unconstitutional. I have a First Amendment right to say these things and to do these things. Not the beating people with canes part. I get that. I'm still sorry about that. But the part about saying things about other people.
Yeah. So Lyon, he launches his own newspaper. And I love this. If you're going to name a newspaper or a website or something, go for a name like this. You ready to hear it? Because it's a long one.
I'm ready.
Okay. The Scourge of Aristocracy and Repository of Important Political Truth.
Yeah,
and he rolls off the tongue.
It does. It does. He starts the newspaper after like every other prominent newspaper in the world says, I'm not going to publish what you wrote here because it's radical. And we also don't want to go to prison for sedition.
Yeah. And he pretty much says that Adams is, well, he's corrupt in the way he views his religion, and he wants to go to war, and it's time that we speak up against some of the Federalist policies.
Right. So he goes to jail because his defense didn't work. He goes to jail, and it's a 16 by 12 cell, which actually is not that small by today's standards. And, you know, they usually put like people who are felons or counterfeiters or runaway slaves in there. And also they throw the spitting lion in there. And they say, listen, buddy, you got to pay $1,000 plus all of your court costs that you have. We wish we could do more, as in punish you harder, but we can't. So, here you go.
You probably didn't even have dial-up Wi-Fi.
Probably not. Do you know, like, a third of the United States still has dial-up?
No.
I might be exaggerating, but there is a startlingly large percentage in the United States of people who still have dial-up. I know. First world problems, but still, I mean, it's a lot.
That's nuts. Well, here's what else is nuts. He's in his jail cell, right? And he's like, I am running for Congress again. So he's there. He's doing his thing in jail, probably, you know, checking his Juno email account or reading a chat room. Reading a chat room on America Online or something like that. And he wins election to the 6th Congress, and he nearly doubles the vote of his closest opponent. It was like 4,500 votes that he got, and the next person got like 2,400. So Lyon's like, hey, I win. And he gets released from jail, and he's like, I'm on my way to Philly. And get this, Ben. You remember the election of 1800?
What a messy, nasty election that was, Aaron Burr, you know.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Eh? Now I'm in a bad mood. Yeah. Well, thankfully, Lyon's around because he's like, yeah, I'm voting for TJ, and that is the deciding vote. So thank you, Lyon. If it wasn't for you, somebody else might be president.
Yeah. Would have been kind of a crazy time.
That scoundrel and, Burr.
It probably would have been Aaron Burr.
Said that name again. I said that name.
You did.
You provoked me. You better watch out. Next time we're together, I might have I don't even chew tobacco, but, you know, might get a chaw in there. And
you'll pull a spitting lion on me.
Yeah.
Well, he goes on to do some other things, and he becomes a rep in the Kentucky House, and he goes back into Congress a while later and everything. Interesting fact, he's married twice, not for very long either time, and he's got like 12 kids, which is amazing to me. Only one of them died in infancy. The rest of them lived decent, full lives. And this is in the early 1800s. So like, or actually late 1700s to early 1800s. So man, 12 kids and all of them survive. Probably yeah. because he was a spitting lion.
I know, probably. He had like all these different phases of his life. I mean, think about it. So he's born in Ireland. He goes to Connecticut, spends some time there, goes to Vermont, then goes to Kentucky, does some stuff there, then goes to Arkansas. He's doing all kinds of crazy stuff out there. Like he's the U.S. factor to the Cherokee Nation and the Arkansas territory. And all the while, he's like, I want to go back to D.C., but he just kind of never does get elected. He is a delegate for the territory in the 17th Congress, but he's got this ginormous resume. There's a county in Kentucky that's named after him, and he means something different to each of these places. And yeah, it's like he's had several lives.
Yeah, it makes you kind of wonder. A lot of times now we see people do one thing and then they're done and then they move on or they don't move on. But Lion just kind of like, he's always got something up his sleeve, it seems like, and he's always somewhere serving in some capacity.
It's crazy to think that there's somebody who did so much that gets passed by in our history books. I mean, I never had heard of Matthew Lyon. I never heard about the brawl that he was involved with. None of this was brought up in history class.
It's because they don't want you to know. They want you to think it's all boring. That's my conspiracy theory for the day. It's all boring in the past, so you should focus on the now.
Yeah. Hey, American people, your history is laced with people who did crazy things like beat fellow congressmen upside the head with canes and retaliated with tongs from the fireplace to defend yourself and spit right there on the House floor.
No, we're not saying any of you should do these things, but someone did, and you should know about it. Hey, you know what else you should know about? Our audiobook, Jason.
Yes, The Dueling Letters. It is a collection of letters that Ben and I have made into audio form. The letters are those between Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, the Wizard of Oz himself. Encourage you to head over to electioncollege.com/duelingletters. Download your copy today.
And if you aren't an audiobook person, which you should be, you can still help us out by going over to electioncollege.com/Amazon and doing all your shopping on Amazon through our link. You'll pay the same prices that you always do and get the same great service from Amazon. It's just that we get a little bit of a cut, and we like that.
Yeah. And if you ever want to see a couple of happy cousins, well, leave a rating and review on iTunes. Only take you about 90 seconds, and I guarantee you, you may not see it, but Ben and I do a little jig every time a good review comes in.
Is yours actually a jig, or do you just like dance freestyle or something?
It's more of a waltz.
Right, okay.
I can't.
I understand, jig. You know, with your bad back and everything. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, and we will see you next time.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.